Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
There are many great people who have been associated with football over the past century and a half, and a few stand out above the rest as having some special impacts upon the game and its people. Coach Dick Vermeil is one of those, as he poured so much of himself into the game and the game and human elements of it with heartfelt emotion and long-lasting friendships. We have his story coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we like to do, we are covering some of the greatest coaches and players and executives and just plain people around the game of football that we possibly can. And this next one is a big one. A great coach that is going to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio in the year 2022. Yeah, he was born October 30th, 1936, and one of the trendsetters in modern professional football coaching, Dick Vermeil, was born that day. Now, Coach Vermeil was the head coach in the NFL for a total of 15 seasons with three different franchises, but his love and involvement with the game has lasted long beyond that. Vermeil may be best known for his innovative coaching techniques that turned a downtrodden Philadelphia Eagles team of the 1970s into a Super Bowl contender. Now, you get to see some little glimpses of Dick Vermeil, and not sure how accurately they are portrayed dramatically in the movie Invincible, the Vince Papale story that came out in 2006. And also the very recent 2021 film, American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. Dick Vermeil had some little pieces, or at least somebody characterizing him or acting as him in the movies. We got to see a little bit of glimpse of him with that too. The two great movies, and the same guy, Dick Vermeil, is portrayed in both of those. Now, Coach began his football coaching career starting at the bottom and working his way up. His first job was as an assistant coach for Del Mar High School in San Jose, California, 1959. Then from 1960 to 1962, he was the head coach at Hillsdale High School in San Mateo. Now, his advancement continued when he made the jump into the junior college level as a defensive backfields coach at the College of San Mateo in 1963. Next, Dick Vermeil took advantage of an opportunity and was assigned his first head coaching position, at least at the collegiate level, when he returned to Napa Junior College in 1964, leading the team to a school record wins in football with a 7-2 record. He even had the chance to coach his younger brother, Al, while at that school. Now, Dick advanced to the next level of college football when from 1965 to 1968, he was the assistant coach at Stanford under John Ralston. Now, the young and up-and-coming coach was getting noticed, and as he got a break to try his hand at the pro levels, when he was hired as one of the NFL's first special teams coaches, along with Hall of Fame coach Marv Levy. Vermeil was hired by George Allen's Los Angeles Rams in 1969, the same year that Levy was hired by Jerry Williams, then the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Except for 1970, when Vermeil was an assistant coach with UCLA, he would remain with the professional LA Rams until 1974, when he was then named the head coach of UCLA. Now, he got that first big break in the coaching ranks as a field boss of the UCLA Bruins during the 74 and 75 seasons. And while with the Bruins, the team compiled a record of 15-5-3, including a big win in the 1976 Rose Bowl game over the top-ranked team in the nation. At that point, unbeaten Ohio State Buckeyes. Accolades at the collegiate level included Vermeule being named as the 1975 Pac-8 Coach of the Year. Yes, he truly received some national attention, so much so that the NFL came calling again, only this time for a head coaching stint just before the 1976 season. It was the Philadelphia Eagles that had floundered for the past 9 seasons up to that point, with their best effort being a 7-7 record in 1974. And he was going to have a long road to reestablish the Eagles as a good team. But Vermeule had a plan, and the Philadelphia front office brass had the patience to let him orchestrate it. Vermeule established a culture early in his tenure in Philly, and the results may not show progress as the Eagles managed a measly 4-10 record in 1976. And in 1977, a marginal improvement, only a record of 5-9 was shown. But he was persistent and patient, like we said. And in those early years, he laid the groundwork for success because in the third season as the Eagles coach, they reached the postseason in 1978 and they finished with a 9-7 record. Finally, a winning season after 12 years for the Eagles fans. It got better, though. Vermeule worked hard and put in many long hours working his players and understanding their strengths and weaknesses. And he tried to learn as much about each of those on the team, not just from a coaching aspect and what their talents were, but from a point of view that he cared about them, wanted to know about them and their families and their backgrounds and everything else. And that really resonated well with the players and the coaching staff as they responded on game days and worked hard in practice. As Coach Vermeule led by example, that's very important for any great leader. Now, Vermeule boosted confidence into a team that was complacent with losing, and he replaced it with the expectation of victory over any opponent. Soon, most of the franchise had bought into the Kool-Aid that Coach was handing out, and their belief and winning spirit translated out onto the field. In 1978, a 14-13 playoff loss to the Atlanta Falcons seemed to be the spark, even in a loss, that really ignited the Eagles nation. You know, the very next season, the Eagles went 11-5 and reached the NFC divisional round, losing 24-17 in Tampa Bay, but they learned a little bit more and figured out some more things. And one barometer of improvement was a victory over the Dallas Cowboys, a divisional rival that had dominated the Eagles, winning 21 of the past 23 meetings between the two squads. The Eagles' win that sort of broke the streak was somewhat unexpected. Starting Philly quarterback Ron Jaworski was injured and could not play in the game, so he was replaced by John Walton, who came in and made a spot start and played a strong game, while kicker Tony Franklin booted a 59-yarder during that game. Now, the whole team played well, and the Eagles won the game 31-21, and it was a sign to all that the Philadelphia franchise had arrived and were ready to play some football in the National Football League. The transformation continued as the next season the Eagles went 12-4, won the NFC East and ran through the playoffs and earned a right to represent the NFC in Super Bowl 15. Their opponent in the NFC Championship game was the rival Dallas Cowboys, and once again the Eagles dispatched their foes 20-7 to play for the league title game. Now, Philadelphia ran into a buzzsaw in the Oakland Raiders, though, in the big game, losing this time also by the score of 20-7, and it may have been a post-Super Bowl depression as the Eagles sunk in the standings, posting a 10-6 record the following season after the Super Bowl appearance, and then slipped to 3-6 in the strike-shortened season of 1982. Dick Vermeule was admittedly spent, and he retired from coaching, declaring burnout as the cause. And when you work that hard and you're that involved and your mind is that focused, yeah, you can suffer some burnout, and he definitely did. But Vermeule didn't get far from the football field as he recharged his batteries, pursuing a broadcasting career as an NFL and college football analyst. And after more than a decade away from the sidelines in the NFL, he left the confines of CBS and ABC, where he had worked as the analyst, and climbed back into the coaching arena, taking over the St. Louis Rams in 1997. And after posting a 5-11 and 4-12 records in his first two seasons with the Rams, the Vermeule magic once again started to take hold in year three of his coaching prowess with the franchise, much like it did with the Eagles a few decades earlier. The 1999 season almost started as poorly as the first two seasons and then seemed to get worse when starting quarterback Trent Green went down with a severe injury. All seemed like it was lost. It looked like it was going to be a real bad season for the Rams. but Vermeil's eye for talent then paid off as rookie Kurt Warner, a late bloomer who had come out of actually working at the grocery store, you know the story, played a lot in the arena football leagues, a little bit in NFL Europe, I believe, and he guided the Rams to a 13-3 record, and the offense was clicking on all cylinders and will forever be remembered as the greatest show on turf. And what a bunch of talent they had on that team for sure. Now, Vermeil led the Rams to their first Super Bowl victory in Super Bowl 34 with a 23-16 win over the Tennessee Titans. And it was perhaps one of the most suspenseful endings to an NFL championship game when the Titans had the ball on the half-yard line when time expired. Now, Vermeil was also named NFL Coach of the Year for the second time in his brilliant coaching career, this time for the 1999 season. And Coach V once again walked away from coaching after the Rams' Super Bowl victory. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs somewhat shocked the football world when they announced that Dick Vermeil was going to be their new head coach before the start of the 2001 season. And true to form, the rebuild started off slow as the Chiefs went 6-10 that season before he tweaked their roster and get them to 8-8 in 2002. In 2003, year three, the Chiefs started the season 9-0 and finished with a 13-3 record, made the playoffs, and they took the crown of the AFC West. They also had the NFL's top-ranked offense for the second straight year. Now, unfortunately, the defense was a little bit suspect, and the wins backslid to mediocrity when the offense could not carry the team that had a defense that was ranked 31st out of 32 teams in the NFL. Now, they arose again in 2005 to a 10-6 record. And on December 31st of that year, Vermeil announced that he would retire at the conclusion of the season. The next day, he led the Chiefs to a 37-3 victory route over the Cincinnati Bengals. However, that 10-6 record was not good enough, and the Chiefs failed to make the playoffs despite that great winning record. Now, Vermeil coached with heart and emotion, laughing, crying, and cheering his teams on to victory. And the players really sensed the emotion and really appreciated his honesty and even, you know, man enough to shed a tear when he was talking to them. And the people he worked with and the ones that opposed him all respected and enjoyed their time spent with the gridiron and broadcast booth with him. His coaching legacy included great moments such as the miracle at the Meadowlands, the aforementioned Super Bowl 34 fantastic finish, and the greatest show on turf. Now, Dick Vermeil posted an overall record of 120-109 as a head coach, a Super Bowl title, multiple Coach of the Year honors, a couple other Super Bowl appearances where he lost, but perhaps his most lasting reward is the great friendships and great memories he had with the players and coaches. Now, Dick Vermeil will be honored with enshrinement at the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame celebrations, and we are certainly glad that he made it in there and glad that you were able to join us today that we could share this history of this outstanding man and outstanding human being and great football coach here today. And we'd like to honor these great Hall of Famers. So make sure you check it out this summer when he's going in and getting his bronze bust put there in Canton, Ohio. And if you can see it in person, that's even better. It's a great time. So, and glad you joined us again today. We have football history coming at you each and every day of the week. Make sure you go to your podcast provider and check a subscription or check it so you know when we have our new releases. Also, you can join our email newsletter list. Comes out each and every day. You'll know every podcast when it's coming out. You know every article on Pigskin Dispatch, Jersey Dispatch, and the Sports History Network, and all the podcasts, and you know exactly. And our audio drama, you'll know when those are releasing too. Orville Mulligan, sports writer. So make sure you check those out. You can join our email list in the show notes of this podcast or on pigskindispatch.com. Up at the top, you can say email subscription, and we will make sure that we get those emails to you right early in the morning in your email inbox, free of charge. And we hope you enjoyed this. And till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.